Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Upset that the Golden State Warriors,
no,
minus Steph Curry, minus Klay Thompson, are not what they once were. And Draymond Green, who's had a lot to say. This is a guy who has always had a lot to say since the Warriors have been one of the best teams that we've seen in recent history. He's kind of fallen off. He's looking like a guy that wasn't that top 15 player that everyone talked about, which always drove me nuts. He looks like just a guy. He looks like just an overweight guy trying to dribble the ball up, and he doesn't look like himself. He's a little bit thick, and he's definitely not as good as he once was. It's easier to get assists when you're throwing it on the wing to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I'm not breaking news there. Oh, by the way, and Kevin Durant. Draymond Green said they didn't need KD. Draymond Green is average at best this year, and I think I'm being a little bit generous there. One guy who is enjoying seeing the fall off of Draymond Green is Charles Barkley. A buddy of yours, John Lopez, used to cover the man.
I did. I went to his retirement party.
You did go to his retirement party. Was Charles Barkley drinking scotch?
I don't remember what he was drinking. Man, it was fun.
Probably some scotch or some whiskey or something like that. But this was the other night on Inside the NBA, the best sports studio show of all time. Charles Barkley basking in the struggles of Draymond Green.
Hey, how about Klay Thompson? Golden State Warrior fans cannot wait until they see him back out there for real, coming off the
ACL. He need to get the sun. Come on, Clay. Is Draymond playing tonight?
Steve Kerr loves it when Steph and Clay are around, just because it.
Well, because they can play. Draymond don't talk as much since he's having that triple single.
DJ, what are you averaging, Chuck?
A triple single.
9-6-6.
Hey. He's got that triple single working. Oh, my God. There's nobody like Chuck, man. There is nobody like that dude. That reminds me of the great Scott Hastings line. Remember Scott Hastings? Former Arkansas Razorback, if Clint is listening on his drive.
Of course, Clint's listening. He's a
loophole. He's a former Hog. Real good player in college. Decent player in the pros. And then kind of hung on and cashed a bunch of checks. I believe he was playing. Was it the Pistons? I don't know. Forget who he was playing for. But he coined the term of, hey, I got another trillion. And what that was, you know, everybody talking about he had a trillion. What'd you do this last night? I had a trillion. Well, that's 1 minute played and zeros across the stat board the rest of the way. So he had a trillion.
I'm glad you liked that one, John.
It made me laugh every time he said it.
You might have liked that one a little bit more.
No, I think it's very funny.
Robert Horry. Would you say Robert Horry was an important piece of the Rockets winning championships in the 90s?
I would say so.
Would you say he was a pretty good player?
I would say so.
Jim Boylan, he's now the coach of the Chicago Bulls. He's a good dude. He was a former assistant for the Houston Rockets when Horry was there. He's now the head coach of the Bulls, and he has a player on his team by the name of Luke Kornet. Not sure too many people have heard of Luke Kornet. Luke Kornet, he is a tall, skinny Euro figgy. He seems to struggle. He seems to be trying to find his way in the NBA game. Stacey King, the former Chicago Bull, he does the analyst work for the Chicago Bulls network. Listen to his reaction. You talk about guys who don't hold back. Listen to his reaction when the sideline reporter for the Bulls TV broadcast says that Jim Boylan, the former Rockets assistant, compared Luke Kornet to the former Rockets great.
Jim Boylan said that he reminds him of Robert Horry. That was something that Boylan brought up yesterday at practice, Neil and Stacey. Of course, Boylan spent time as an assistant with the Rockets. And he said Horry was one of the first guys who could rim protect at a high level and make threes. We all know Robert Horry could shoot a three. Luke Kornet with one made three tonight, but that's the idea. He said Luke Kornet has rim protection, block shots, and he liked how he guarded Giannis and Antetokounmpo in the first half against the Bucks, gentlemen.
What?
Neil Funk, Stacey King.
Oh, my goodness. Robert Horry?
Yeah,
Robert Horry was a great two-way player. Won rings, too. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he's not wrong. You're comparing him to who? Robert Horry?
I love when the local broadcasts do stuff like that. Just basically hike their leg on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, man, these coaches that compare their current players to their former players, sometimes it's just such a reach. It's almost unfair to the player. Like there's no way that young man was sitting there saying, "Wow, what a great compliment."
Yeah, and I feel bad when I do it. You know, and I'm not a coach saying it. Like, I feel guilty when I say Derrick Henry reminds me of kind of a cross between Earl Campbell and Eric Dickerson. Are you kidding me? I mean, those are two of the all-time greatest. But
I can relate to Stacey King.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I'm not saying he's that. I'm saying he's that style. And I think what she was saying was not he's that style. I think she was saying he's the next Robert Horry, and that is not the case.
Yeah, no, that is not. Definitely not the case. That's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. Derek Jeter is in the Hall of Fame. There's no surprise there.
God, don't get me started.
However,
I know where you're going.
I know. I want to get you started. That's my goal here, John Lopez. That's kind of my
occupation.
I feel
a rant coming on.
Well, I'm ready for it.
Is there a rant alert?
There needs to be a rant alert because Derek Jeter's in the Hall of Fame. Apparently, everybody didn't think Derek Jeter was a first ballot Hall of Famer. So one guy did not vote for Derek Jeter, which means he got 99% of the vote. And there's been an uproar across the internet, across the world of baseball, as to who made that vote. What is your reaction when you see someone do something like this, not vote for Derek Jeter to be a Hall of Famer? And do you think that the outrage is a little bit ridiculous?
So, people are upset. And Yankees fans, come on now, we were talking about this earlier. People are upset because Derek Jeter was not a unanimous Hall of Famer. That's what we're saying, right?
That's what we're saying. That's what people are saying, yes. There are a lot of people saying that.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, that's Yankee arrogance of the new millennium at its highest order. You know who else was not a unanimous Hall of Fame?
Nobody
voter?
Except Mariano Rivera. Mariano Rivera is the only one ever.
Babe Ruth was not a unanimous Hall of Fame
Don't
vote.
Don't you think that's ridiculous? I mean, do you not think that's ridiculous?
No, I'm not saying it's not ridiculous.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
No, I'm not saying it's not ridiculous, but I'm saying there's always going to be someone out there doing something dumb and voting because maybe, I mean, Willie Mays was not a unanimous Hall of Famer.
Which is silly.
Willie Mays is widely regarded as the greatest all-around baseball player in history.
Although that catch was overrated.
The catch was
day.
Overrated. I agree with you on that. I've said that myself. But the greatest all-around player in the history of the game was not unanimous in the Hall of Fame. It's what do you want? Oh, he's got to be unanimous. Mariano, okay, he was unanimous. Good deal. But don't get upset when it doesn't happen. Babe Ruth, Cal Ripken, Willie Mays, Ted Williams, not unanimous Hall of Fame votes. It's stupid. He's in the Hall of Fame. Embrace it.
But he's not unanimous.
Just because some dummy didn't vote for him.
But he's not unanimous.
So?
That's what people are upset about.
Well, why aren't you upset about Ted Williams?
Because we're trying to right the wrongs of the past, no. Man. That's the point. That's the goal here is to right the wrongs of the past.
Ricky
so that's
Henderson.
The problem.
Name a Hall of Famer.
Mariano Rivera is the only unanimous
the
Hall of Famer.
Only one.
Ever. Only one. Derek Jeter met with the media, and he was asked probably one of the most foolish questions you can imagine. So, Derek Jeter, you were great with the Yankees. Does that make it hurt even more, given your current situation where you're an exec for the Miami Marlins and they're hot garbage? Does that make you feel pretty bad, given your success?
Success you had in two decades as a player and as a teammate, has it made it all the more frustrating what you're going through in Miami with the losing and the empty ballpark? And where would a title as CEO with the Marlins fit in alongside for you the accomplishments with the Yankees and reaching the Hall?
No, it's been a lot of fun down there losing and not having anyone come. Well, I mean, look, the bottom line is you. The bottom line is when you're competing to win. You know, I could have stayed home and retired. Just ask my wife. She'd probably be a little bit happier. I always wanted to give back to the game at the highest level, and I wanted to build something that we could be proud of and everyone in Miami could be proud of.
All right, there's Derek Jeter.
That was a good answer, to say the very least.
The OG John Lopez says people whining about unanimous Hall of Fame stuff basically need to shut up. Am I misinterpreting what you said?
You are not. For once, you are not.
Okay, there we go. So that is 100% accurate. That is what John Lopez said. If you're whining about that, you need to shut the heck up. J-Lo, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. James E. Hedebo, going to talk about his former teammate Aaron Hernandez in the noon hour. Also, all the stuff going on with the Houston Texans. And speaking of the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien, fake mic'd up audio leading up to the decision to kick the field goal on 4th-and-1. Kyle Shanahan, he got the internet going nuts. Bill O'Brien's about to have you going nuts. An in-the-loop exclusive B.O.B. in KC. That's next. What are you doing for the Pro Bowl, John?
Not watching it.
You're one of those guys, huh?
Yes, I am one of those guys. Card-carrying, a human being with a life.
Well, I guess you don't want to watch Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson do their thing.
I do not.
That's fine. Lamar Jackson and
Deshaun
Watson.
I do not want to
watch
them play catch with guys that don't want to play football.
Okay, that's fine. Well, they were mic'd up at the Pro Bowl. They were having a back and forth. Lamar Jackson talking about why he ended up at Louisville. While the two are chatting, a coach comes over and tells them the – I guess to add to your disgust with the lack of quality football, the types of coverages that the opposing teams are playing, and Lamar Jackson seems to enjoy it. This is LJ and DW4 at the Pro Bowl.
I wanted to get away from home, and, like, when I was coming out, Coach Petrino was the only coach saying, like, he'll give me an opportunity to play right away. So it's like, that's what I wanted to do coming out. I didn't want to sit my freshman year. So I'm like, no, I'm good. But y'all ain't even have a quarterback. None of the teams had quarterbacks. So it's like, all right, I just want to play him. We just had a lot of success.
I think he's doing like a 10-10-10 here. We're going to get like just run plays again. Defense can line up. They only can play cover three or cover two or man. That's it. No disguise. No blitz.
That's cool.
So we'll just rotate.
They have no interest.
What if the real season were like that, it'd be a wrap. It'd be a wrap for everybody. They won't play with no quarterback like dual threat quarterback like that.
I love cover zero.
I love every coverage.
I like Lamar Jackson, man.
How can you not? I mean,
a nice presence. Well, I feel like he's got a lot of haters.
He does.
But
used
I think
to.
It's people who are obsessed with being right.
Who was it that said he should
right.
be a receiver?
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Bill Polian yeah, is Bill the Polian. One that you're that's probably
and he didn't enough. Vote for him for MVP.
That's right. He sure did.
Bill Polian still has a vote?
Good. I guess so. He was the only one that didn't vote for him.
Who did he vote for? Honestly, who else would you vote for besides Lamar Jackson this year? And it's regular season award. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It McCaffrey. Really I wonder why he would vote for McCaffrey.
Whoa.
Hey, I didn't hit that button, and Figgy accidentally hit it. But since you did, Figgy, accidentally hit that button, if you're going to call a quarter, it's fine to say some quarterbacks should probably play receiver in the NFL. Those are the ones that you don't see producing, you know, as a passer as much at the next level. All right? I didn't see any of that. A lot of guys didn't see any of that with Lamar Jackson. You know, some of those. Jalen Hurts is probably going to have to be a receiver.
A running back.
And I wouldn't
played it at Bama his junior year.
And I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, he played it. I think he would be foolish to just handcuff himself to just quarterback. I think that would be a little bit foolish of Jalen Hurts. So I anticipate him getting asked those same questions. But unlike Lamar, there is actually tape of Hurts doing such a thing, but Bill Polian not voting for Lamar Jackson for MVP just seems a little bit silly, seems a little bit petty to me, but whatever. Oh, all pro. He didn't even vote for him for all pro. Okay, well, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Bill Polian.
How can you not?
I don't know.
That's
pathetic.
Interesting.
Pathetic with a capital P.
He voted for Russell Wilson.
Okay. I mean, all right.
No, not all right.
I mean, Russell had a good year.
He had a good year.
Russell had a good year. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize, Bill Polian. Laremy Tunsil, he was a pro bowler. He was not an all pro. He is in Kansas, or he's not in Kansas City. He's in Miami for the Pro Bowl, but his
Orlando,
but his heart is still in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's only been a week, but, you know, I probably need a couple more weeks just to decompress that loss we had, but you know it was fun, you know, just to be out here with a great group of guys. Let's keep going.
8379 on the text line. These are the texts that I crave when it comes to Lamar Jackson. See, mm-hmm. Laremy Tunsil hadn't moved past it either. I haven't either. We'll hear from Bill O'Brien during one of his controversial decisions in the AFC Championship game, the fake Bill O'Brien, that is courtesy of In the Loop. He says, the problem with Lamar Jackson's style of play in the NFL is he will be hurt a lot. Look, man, you could say that about any position. Like, so far, he has not been hurt. He's won MVP. He led his team to the playoffs last year. Like, you could say that about any running back. You could say that about any receiver. And then are you just going to sit there and say, see, I told you so. Yeah. Like, everybody's going to get hurt playing football. But so far, you've been proved wrong. Like, at what point do you get proved right? Like, if he hurts his ankle next year in week four, you can say, see, I told you so. Like, I don't understand, like, why people are so committed to that. Yes, he's going to get hurt. Everybody's going to get hurt in football. But he has proven a lot of people wrong. Just sit there, enjoy it, and take it in.
I also think, yes, everybody's going to get hurt in football. It's going to be varying degrees of some sort of injury. At some point in your career, you might even have a severe, debilitating, career-ending, season-ending injury. Everybody's going to get hurt. But I think it's getting more and more likely that quarterbacks like that run don't get hurt as much. The rules are made for quarterbacks. Everything caters to protecting the quarterback. It's why people complain when somebody accidentally rolls into somebody's leg and there's a 15-yard penalty that keeps the drive alive. Everything is made for quarterbacks. I really think that Patrick Mahomes on that really fantastic, I don't mean to take anything away from it, but I think I might. that fantastic run scramble
someone
down the sideline.
Someone need to knock his ass out.
In 5-10 years ago, he would have been de-cleated out of bounds by someone. But defenders are reticent or are reluctant to go at quarterbacks on the sideline. It was a great run, but
you don't want to add that 15-yard penalty.
Exactly.
Man.
So quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson are less likely to get hurt than they've ever been. So I would think everybody should be going
that was nice, but that was just as bad of a
so you so
defense.
You agree with me,
man? Come on. Yeah. Like, you gotta knock it, you gotta bring the wood there. 5518 says, could Jalen Hurts be the Black Taysom Hill? I don't hate that comparison. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And the thing is, if Drew Brees got hurt, like, I know they have Teddy Bridgewater right now, but if Teddy Bridgewater goes somewhere else, there's a chance that Taysom Hill is their backup quarterback. But you don't just sit him on the sidelines. You can use him as a weapon and use him different ways. I think you could have Jalen Hurts as your backup quarterback because that's what he's going to start out as regardless, even if he just does decide to go quarterback.
Mariota did it some.
But you could still use him as a weapon. So I think that Taysom Hill, you know, when it comes to quarterbacks that people have question marks about, the fact that Taysom Hill has all that value, it's going to be interesting to see what he gets, the former BYU quarterback, now the utility guy for the New Orleans Saints. But I actually think that's a pretty good – That's a pretty good comparison right there to where you could use Jalen Hurts in your offense and run some plays with him.
No, I agree.
And he could still be your backup quarterback. Kyle Shanahan got the internet going nuts, John Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
There is NFL Films audio of Kyle Shanahan during a crucial point of the NFC Championship game, basically forecasting what's going to happen on a critical play against Green Bay. It was one of the plays that kind of
really
turned things
brilliant
around
on his part.
They never look back. He's sitting by a referee. The camera's over his shoulder. He tells the ref what to look out for, and that's exactly what happened. And the internet went completely nuts because of what the third-year coach for the San Francisco 49ers did. This is just a little snippet of what it sounded like on NFL Films.
5-yard out route, 85 versus their guy. Going to go inside and break out. He won't let him out. Watch.
Green Bay broke up the shutout, but San Francisco was still in control.
Redner just held him the whole way.
Two flags came down.
I mean, that was brilliant.
That was brilliant.
He knew exactly where the defender was going to have leverage and where his guy was going to go, and that the defender would feel like he got caught in no man's land and grab. And guess what happened? Exactly that.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was extremely brilliant, and it was a great display in a postseason game, and that's why the 49ers are in the Super Bowl two Sundays from now. We got an In the Loop exclusive. Fake Bill O'Brien during one of the most critical points of the Kansas City game. We all remember when Bill O'Brien elected to go for the field goal up 21-0 from the 14-yard line on 4th-and-1. We all remember that. What we forget, and what I think a lot of people forget, is they actually had called a timeout on the 3rd-and-9 play before. So if they were going to go for it, they could have had that prepared. But we all remember the chaos that broke out. We all remember Bill O'Brien at the podium saying he just didn't have a play in that situation. So because we provide loopholes with exclusives, and because we want to give you a behind-the-scenes look at how things go during game time with the Houston Texans, here is the fake Bill O'Brien in Kansas City with the Texans up 21-0.
Big down here, third down and
timeout,
nine.
Timeout!
21 on third down and nine.
Timeout!
Timeout. Why not?
Timeout.
With Deshaun, it's third and nine. Third and nine.
Redirected back.
I don't have a play on fourth, okay? That's too far ahead,
perfectly.
Okay? Third and nine.
And
we got a timeout here.
Time
throw the ball
Kenny
to Duke.
For that.
Third down and nine at the Chiefs 21. And he dumps it off. Johnson, left side across the 15, and Johnson down to the 12-yard line.
He got it! He got it!
He's going to have it, it appears.
He got it!
A check down to Duke, and it looks like they're going to mark him a bit short. Let's
what?
See.
Should we challenge?
Oh,
should we challenge?
We have to measure this.
Should we challenge?
5%.
I don't have a play!
On third down.
Timeout!
Coach O'Brien's going to roll the dice.
I don't have a play! Timeout!
Watson calling for the right personnel group. And we're down to 10 seconds
time
on the
out.
Play clock. They're not going to get this off in time.
The ball,
Tim, shut up.
Timeout.
Shut up, Tim. I don't have a play.
A drive.
Field goal.
I'm okay.
Lead, but right
field
here,
goal.
You're in the red zone. Dre, you're at the 13-yard
field
line.
Goal.
Get it right. Now they're going to bring in Fairbairn. Here's the snap. Here's the spot. Here's
he
the
got
kick.
It.
And it's
he
good.
Got
and
it.
Fairbairn makes it a 24-0 Texans lead.
You suck too, mother.
This is Texans Radio.
So good. Bill, why? No, I didn't know that he was fake Bill was wired for Sam there. That's a
man.
I don't have a play.
Gosh, it's discouraging. You think you would plan that maybe on the third and nine.
You think
but,
he really said that?
Man.
Well, everything on that fake Bill O'Brien said in that mic'd up audio, Bill O'Brien said after the game was the case. So, I mean, if you're taking him for his word, right?
Got the internet going nuts.
Yeah.
Justin Reed, he played last season with a torn labrum.
Get me started.
Why, John?
Let's ask James Ahedibo about that when he comes in about 15 minutes.
I got a feeling.
You want me to tell you why?
I know how that will go. We're also going to ask James about his former teammate, Aaron Hernandez. He was on the Super Bowl, the team that lost in the Super Bowl with Aaron Hernandez. We'll ask him about that.
You want me to tell you why it drives me crazy? I'm driving home yesterday after the show, feeling pretty good. You know, good show yesterday. Loopholes came in strong as they always do. Figgy was on his game. You had the rundown airtight like you always do. I was going to go have dinner with my son for his birthday. I mean, just good day, good feeling. Traffic is always a bitch, but who cares? I mean, you know, that's just part of life in my neighborhood. I've come to just
put some good music on, put on Sports
it.
Radio 610, enjoy yourself.
I actually listened to the Bite Me podcast, make sure everything was good. Everything was not, but Figgy fixed that in a heartbeat. There was a little bit of a glitch at the beginning. We've got that. I'm feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's just clicking, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, man, I can't believe, because late in the show, Justin Reed himself tweeted the news that he played the entire season with a torn labrum.
And you could tell he was hurt a lot during the game.
Well, we talked about
but
it all year long.
He made some big plays. He made the play against Fournette on the two-point conversion, and he made the play against Tennessee that resulted in an interception
led to
for
the
Whitney
win,
Merciless.
Basically. Yes, yes. That Merciless went almost all the way for
with a torn shoulder.
Yeah. So I'm feeling pretty good. And I'm like, man, I can't believe he did all season with a torn labrum. And then I'm sitting there. And I'm like, hold on. Are you freaking kidding me? They called a very controversial, ill-advised, fake punt to a guy that had a torn labrum. So everything we yelled about and were frustrated with in that Kansas City game, the three biggest things, of course, you know, we talked about the fourth quarter, not knowing that he needed to go for it, you know, the field goal rather than going for it there that you just heard. And then, of course, the fateful fake punt, which the fake punt turned the entire game when Justin Reed got the ball in his hands and got caught 2 yards short. Justin Reed was in pain. I mean, I was looking earlier at some of the things that affect, you know, how would that have affected him as a ball carrier? Well, it says sometimes it leads to numbness in your hands, always pain, limited range of motion, et cetera, et cetera. And you're calling not only that ill-advised fake punt, you're calling it for a guy that had a torn labrum. I was just like mind blown away.
And I'm kind of pissed that I didn't think about that, because I mean, it was a bad decision to begin with, but I thought it was an even worse decision given the fact that he did have the torn labrum. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you're looking at it, it's so obvious that something's going on. And then, I mean, he doesn't really have, you need your shoulder there, whether it's a stiff arm or whatever.
And not only that, yeah, whatever. Stiff arm, maybe. I know that was like a fumble because they got stopped, but it could have been a scoop and score. He could have gotten, you know, hurt worse if he got hit there. As a ball carrier, he's more susceptible, et cetera. But then, okay, well, what are your options? Well, first of all, it was kind of a giveaway because it was a lot of motion. It was a long time to get into that play. Tywin Jones could have been the guy in motion. He's covered punts.
Could have been.
You know, he could have been.
He's led the league in kickoff returns before.
He's led the league in kickoff returns. He knows how to make guys miss in space.
Kind of made a big play.
He didn't have a bad shoulder.
How about just don't fake punt?
Like, well, yes. That's the number one takeaway. But if you're going to do it, you know, in an ill-advised manner, you're doing it to a guy that's got needs a surgically repaired shoulder? That was incredible.
Very interesting. The man who should be the manager of your Houston Astros has left town, but before he hopped on the plane, Jeff Banister, the cancer survivor, the AL manager of the year, the two-time AL West winning manager, and a Houston native looking for that next opportunity to put his best work in front of him, he spoke with Mark Berman, and he discussed what this job would mean to him.
For a lot of different reasons. I care about this community. I care about this organization. I know a lot's been made recently and in the past about the rivalries. It is what it is. You know, I love the fact that we had an opportunity to have a real rivalry within the state. You know, who knows? We continue to push that along.
Maybe we could. Maybe the Rangers and the Astros could be good at the same time, and the former manager of the Rangers could have his best work ahead of him with the Houston Astros. It's happened a lot in baseball. Joe Torre was with the Cardinals before the Yankees. There's a lot of failed stints managers have had before they did their best work. I'm not saying that Jeff Banister is a finished product, but I am saying the resume is very good. I think he's the right guy for the job, and he loves H-Town. This is Jeff Banister talking about what this city means to him.
Used to sneak in the Astrodome to go watch the Astros play. So, first big league game I ever went to was in the Astrodome. Growing up in the shadows of Houston, shadows of the Astrodome, being a Houstonian, you know, knowing what you know this city means, the resilience and the grit and the determination of the people in this city helped shape and molding who I am and who I've become. It'd be a great opportunity.
It'd be a great opportunity.
It'd be great.
Come on down, Banny.
You sold me on this.
Come on down, Banny.
Houston guy, man.
I'm kind of pissed.
That's going to matter to fans, too. Isn't that also as much as you want
that's
him
just
to...
just icing.
Yeah, it's icing, but it's good icing. You know, it's really good, good icing.
Solid icing.
Because, yeah, you want a guy that can manage the team and not just be a short-term guy, but a guy that can carry you on to hopefully back where you were headed anyway. But... I mean, Houston's going to love this dude.
They'll love him. Yeah. And he's a good manager. He's got a better resume than you'd think. Jeff Banister, I'm kind of pissed he even got on that plane, honestly, unless he was just going to call the movers.
Hey, I got to give Jim Crane credit. I know we've been all about Jim Crane lately. We're on the Jim Crane bandwagon. But he's not just the first guy he sees, you know, that bats his eyes, you know, at him. He's going to hire. He's interviewed a lot of guys.
Yeah, well, yeah. You've interviewed the right one.
Yeah.
He got on a plane yesterday. Rockets back at it last night. They win 121-105. They snapped their four-game losing streak. Also in the NBA, Zion, the debut, 4-for-4 from three-point land. The only player in NBA history to go 4-for-4 in his debut from three. He was on a minutes restriction, so it kind of got away from him, but Zion looked pretty good yesterday.
17 straight points in the fourth quarter. Yep,
did his thing.
Lost.
Living up to the hype. Did his thing. Also in the NBA, Jim Boylan, former Rockets assistant, he compared one of his European players by the name of Luke Cornett. If I pronounce that wrong, who really cares? He doesn't deserve for me to pronounce his name correctly just yet. He compared him to a player that he coached here in Clutch City, Robert Horry. Normally on Homer telecasts, when stuff like that gets said,
they're like, yeah,
they kind of embrace it, they soak it in, and they sit there and they regurgitate the nonsense that the coach spews, not Stacey King.
Jim Boylan said that he reminds him of Robert Horry. That was something that Boylan brought up yesterday at practice, Neil and Stacy. Of course, Boylan spent time as an assistant with the Rockets. And he said Horry was one of the first guys who could rim protect at a high level and make threes. We all know Robert Horry could shoot a three. Luke Kornet with one made three tonight, but that's the idea. He said Luke Kornet has rim protection, blocked shots, and he liked how he guarded Giannis Antetokounmpo in the first half against the Bucks, gentlemen.
What?
Neil Funk, Stacey King.
Oh, my goodness. Robert Horry?
Robert Horry was a great two-way player.
Won rings, too. Oh, my goodness.
I love that. What are you talking about,
that's
bro?
So awesome.
He did everything but the Jalen Ramsey.
So awesome. I love me a Homer telecast.
What?
That keeps love it that. Real. OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you halfway home. Shout out to all the loopholes for your contributions. It is a great time to be alive. James E. Hedebo, he joins the show every Thursday. He's a Super Bowl champ, 10-year NFL vet. He also was a teammate of Aaron Hernandez when the Patriots went to the Super Bowl. We know about that Netflix documentary. We want to ask James E. Hedebo what his former teammate, who he called Chico, was like. We're also going to get
a little bit of a race
card
there, but that's all right.
On all of the stuff going on around the NFL as we anticipate the Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and 49ers. Keep it locked. Keep the calls coming. 713-572-4610. The amazing weekly visit with James E. Hedebo next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.